I thank you for your welcome to the pulpit here today, and especially for Norma's invitation to preach on the occasion of her ordination. Also, many thanks to Jack and Kevin and Daryl and Barry later for singing, and to Adoniram and Angeline for reading scripture this morning, and to those of you who've led us in prayers as well. Now, have you noticed that as we celebrate and observe repeated events, that they remind us of the ones that have come before? Easter, does it remind you of the ones you've done before? And Christmas, and baptisms. A few weeks ago, my son was baptized, and it reminded me of many of the baptisms that have come before, including my own. Weddings and ordinations can remind us of other such events that we've been at. The lectionary and the liturgical year are great tools that help us connect to what has been and call us forward to what will be. Now, it's not every day that we get together to celebrate an ordination. But a whole bunch of people have gathered here today, both to celebrate a Sunday morning worship, but also to celebrate Norma's ordination. And as the people who are gathered here today, I'm going to just step out there and venture that we believe that each and every person can have a relationship with God, gets to choose that for themselves, no forcing. We are a people who believe that a person is called to the priesthood of all believers. And each person can be a minister in their own home, in their own family, in their own workplace, or retirement place. And yet, we also gather from time to time to acknowledge that a special setting apart, a special setting aside of specific people happens sometime. People whose lives, whose training, whose circumstances, and whose calling come together in some unequationable way to tell us that ministry is their way of life. So today we gather, as we do week by week, to be nourished by the words of God, to be nourished by being together, to be nourished by song. But we also gather on this special occasion as we acknowledge God's special blessing showered upon Norma in a lifetime of ministry. Often ordinations come at the beginning of a lifetime of ministry. You know, what's to say we have to do it a certain way? As I have listened to the sacred texts that Norma has selected for us for this morning, there are a few things that stand out to me. And I think they are reflective of who Norma is and the calling that has been placed on her life. In Lamentations, I hear God's faithfulness, a new everyday experience of trusting God to provide for us. If you know Norma, you know this is true about her. I hear the encouragement to quiet waiting for God to intervene in the situations of our lives that are not yet what we would like for them to be. This text is a call to each one of us in all of the situations of our lives, whether we're waiting for grief to heal or waiting for a baby to be born, or persevering through challenging situations, or waiting for paint to dry, or waiting for surgery, or waiting until the last week of our 79th year of life to be ordained at last. In this psalm, I hear how we are known and loved from conception to the present. From before the beginning of time, our inheritance is to be known by God, loved by God, blessed by God. And from the overflow of God's initiative in our lives, we're able to develop relationships, to know and love others, and to pour out God's blessing on the world. And I love the story of Peter, selected for us to sit inside for a few moments today. The first part of the story has Peter a bit uncertain about what to do. His master Jesus has died, and yes, he's appeared to Peter and the other followers of Jesus twice, but he's not with them all the time. And the community was so used to him being with them. But I think that turning to that community was one of the things, well, I think it was the thing, that started Peter down the road to healing after a huge mistake. Now, we all make mistakes. You don't have to say it out loud with me, but I know you are inside. We all make mistakes. And rather than letting shame eat him up and push him away from community, Peter had turned to be with the community, the followers of Jesus. And so one evening, Peter, in conversation with his companions, says, "I'm going fishing." I can imagine him feeling like it seemed like things were going to be so different than he'd expected, right? Like they've been traveling around and preaching and teaching and healing people for 3 years, and Jesus was going to be the leader of Israel, the king of the world. And then he died. And he rose again, but we don't really know what that means yet at this point. So Peter might have thought, "I know the way to security. I have a boat, I have a family business, I'll just go back to that." And the community of the beloved around him says, "Well, we'll go with you," right? "You don't have to go into this time of uncertainty alone, we'll go with you." And I don't know if you remember the earlier stories, but as has happened before, Peter fishes all night and catches nothing. Imagine the sun cresting over the horizon. That is east, right? Crests over the horizon, and there's a stranger on shore who has the audacity to ask, "Did you catch anything for breakfast?" "No." "Throw the net over the starboard side." Now, the first time we hear this story earlier in the Gospels, there's a bit of grumbling and murmuring and complaining. But this time, without a murmur or a complaint, they throw the net on the starboard side, and it fills up with fish. And young John, who we hear of in the book of John as the disciple Jesus loved, and just here's an aside, you might try calling yourself this on the inside all the time. The disciple that Jesus loved. The follower that Jesus loved. And just see how it changes your internal conversation about yourself if you refer to yourself that way. Just something to try. Young John, the disciple that Jesus loved, says to Peter, "It's the master, the teacher, it's Jesus." And Peter, who's been stripped down for work, grabs his cloak real fast, athletically dives off the side of the boat, and swims to the shore. Now, Jesus has been preparing breakfast on the shore, and that great net of 153 fish is dragged in. I mean, I don't know who would have taken time at that moment to count how many fish they were, but they did. 153 fish are dragged in, and a few more fish are added to the fire, and these hungry fishing crew folks get to eat until they're satisfied and content. Now, back in the before days, before Jesus' resurrection, before Jesus' crucifixion, before all of this other stuff, Jesus gave Simon, son of John, a new name. He said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, my people, my called out ones." And now in this after breakfast conversation, Jesus goes back to calling Peter by his birth name. "Simon, son of John," he says. And We get the sense that Jesus has known and loved and blessed this man. Jesus starts from a place of love. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? More than this fishing boat, these fishing nets, these 150-some fish, this secure way of life? Do you love me more than you love your companions on the journey? Yes, Lord. You know I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep, my little sheep, my lambs. Now, a resurrection process, a new life process, is at work right here in Simon, son of John, and he is on his way to becoming Peter, the rock upon whom the Lord will build the called out people. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus says, tend my sheep. Simon, you can imagine the cogs inside Simon's head. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter, ever after, when he would retell the story, because that's the only way we can know how he felt inside, would admit the pain that he felt inside when the Christ asked him three times if Peter really did love him. Could these three opportunities help him to step into alignment, into relationship with the living Christ so deeply that his whole self would be transformed? Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep, and then follow me. So I wonder, as we listen to this story today, in what ways are you invited to take nourishment, food from Jesus? And as you break bread with Jesus, with the Father, with the life-giving Spirit, what name does the divine family call you? What experience of transformation might they invite you to walk through, to live a new life, a transformed life? Are there ways today in which you are invited to follow Jesus? The story of Peter and Jesus and these three questions, do you love me, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep, those are part of my call to ministry, my call to ordination. They also are what I have seen and heard and can witness to in the life of Norma, as she has lived out the call to trust in the faithfulness of God for nurture and provision, knowledge, love, and blessing, and then from that place of so much abundance, overflow that relationship and love and blessing on everyone that she meets. And so as we close this portion of the gathering together with gratitude for God's invitation to each of us, we do that. With gratitude, we thank you, God, for your invitation to each of us to be known and loved and blessed, and then to share generously of that blessed abundance, as we are made instruments of your peace. Amen.